John the Baptizer calls people to a newness of heart. He tells them that the hoped-for one is soon to arrive, and that they are to prepare themselves. He calls them to conversion, to a repentance. He doesn't tell them that they're to offer sacrifice, or that they are to put on sackcloth and ashes, or that they are to live an austere life as he led an austere life in the desert. He says the way you will reform your lives is really very simple. You will make sure that your neighbor has food to eat. And you will make sure that your neighbor has warm clothes to wear. And you will avoid greed in all its forms. That's what you need to do. In that way, you will prepare for the coming of the Messiah. It's startlingly simple. What he's saying to his contemporaries is, what you have to learn is that it's not about you. You have to get out of the way. That you are invited to embrace your neighbor as your sister or your brother. It is not the things that you possess that are important. In many ways, it is what you share that is most important. Well, that's the message that the church puts before us on this week before Christmas. A week from today is Christmas Eve. It's important for us to realize that we come to celebrate that feast and that season, and in so doing, we come to celebrate the mystery of Christ. There is so much that we become involved in that can draw us away from that focus. And clearly, there is so much pandering to us at this time of the year. Pandering to be excessive in what we consume, excessive in what we buy, excessive in what we say we need. The gifting that takes place at the Christmas season is meant to be a reminder as we gift each other of the great gift that we have received in the gift of God's Son. That's what the gifting is about. It is an act of religion, if you will. And the gifting is meant to be simple. How many hundreds of millions of people go into unbelievable debt during the weeks before the Christmas feast? And to what end? The feast is meant to be a celebration of goodwill to all and a remembrance of God's goodwill toward us. Parents do very well in helping their children to understand that it is not only that they will receive gifts, but that they are charged to share what they have as well with others. Reminding all of us that it is not so much what we have, but what we share that is important. The Christmas feast and the Christmas season can be celebrated in a modest way and yet in a way filled with joy, and filled with appreciation, filled with spirit, the spirit of the season, the spirit of the feast, filled with deep satisfaction, satisfaction around family and friends, satisfaction around the gift of life and the opportunities that each of us has received. But all of that can be done modestly. When I was a small child, my father was serving in the Second World War in the United States Army. My mother had two small children she was caring for. And my father would send home money monthly, but that money wasn't very much and it didn't spread or stretch very far. And so at Christmas time, there wasn't a lot of money to provide Christmas presents. So my mother is a very wise lady. She explained to me and my brother that it's not always possible for Santa Claus to get to every single house in the world on Christmas Eve night. There are just too many people to get to. And so he needs helpers. He needs to call on members of his family to help them. And that it has been decided that our house will not be visited by Santa, but will be visited by his brother John. John Claus was going to come to see us. John is not as swift as his brother, though. He sometimes dawdles eating cookies and drinking milk, and sometimes he takes naps in between his stops. So he doesn't finish his rounds anywhere near as efficiently as Santa does. Seemed wise and good to us, and so we awaited the arrival of John, whenever John Claus might decide to show up. Well, on the day after Christmas, very early in the morning, my mother would take the streetcar and go downtown St. Paul, and she would shop at the department stores. There used to be things called department stores. The Emporium and the Golden Rule and Schunemann's. It was a civil time, you know, you could make purchases, and at that department store they would even wrap them for you. And then, unheard of, they would deliver them to your house, so that you didn't have to climb back on that streetcar lugging all these parcels with you. A very civil kind of shopping. Well, later that day, there were packages that were delivered on the front steps of the house. Sometimes pretty late in the day, sometimes 6:30 or 7 o'clock in the evening. But we realized that John Claus had finally made it through, and he had brought the Christmas gifts. And the Christmas gifts were simple. The Christmas gifts were simple. But they were bright, and they were shiny, and they were more than welcome. As a child, I really never, ever cared for Santa Claus. But I had a deep love and appreciation for his brother John. There are ways in which families can celebrate the feast and can celebrate the season in ways that are appropriate and ways that are responsible and reasonable. And those ways are the ones that really John the Baptist is talking to us about. He's saying, take care of your neighbors. Make sure that everything is okay there. Don't let anyone go hungry or go cold. And then remember, it's not about you. It's not about your stuff. Avoid greed in all its forms. Be satisfied with what you have. And be generous in what you give. For this is the feast we celebrate. The feast of the gift giver. Feast of God's gift to us. The feast by which the Son of God joins with us in the fullness of human life.